Why don't you turn with me to John chapter 5 tonight, Gospel of John chapter 5. So good to be with each and every one of you. I mean that tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to read a story tonight in the Bible, a true story. I believe they're true.
Yeah.
If I didn't, I might as well just put this away and say, oh, I'll get a comic book out and use that instead. No, I believe God's word is true. I believe this actually happened. And I believe that God's still the same kind of God as we're going to talk about tonight. But we're gonna, you know, I was a theater major. I just had to look down and saw my notes. There's three things we're gonna look at. And in theater, I just thought of this right now. In theater, there's usually a play. In a play, there's usually three acts in the play. There are other plays that aren't. But basically, your basic theatrical presentation is three acts. Well, tonight we're gonna talk about three areas. We're gonna talk about the setting. We're gonna talk about the sick. And we're going to talk about the Savior, hallelujah, tonight. Amen. Hey, but we're going to have a setting first of all. You know, usually the first scene of a play, and I'm just using this for a moment. The first scene of a play sort of sets the mood of what's going to happen that when the curtain opens and the first things happen. So I'm just using that, and if you've ever been to a play, you know what I'm talking about. So you get a first feel for what's going to happen first of all. So the setting tonight is Jerusalem. Everybody say Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
Everybody say God's city. Amen. Praise God. I'll tell you what, if you want something, want God to bless you, pray for Jerusalem. Amen. God will bless those that pray for Jerusalem. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know your word tonight. For all that's going on over there, pray. Pray that God will bless Jerusalem. Bless the Jewish people. Amen. I'm not preaching about Jewish people tonight, but they're wonderful people. I have some personal friends. One of my very best friends, a doctor in my hometown there in West Virginia. His son was my best friend, and we're best friends to this day. They live in, he and Debbie live in outside of Cleveland, Ohio, and Stowe and Cuyahoga Falls. And Debbie, when we went to West Virginia University, she was born a full-fledged Jewish girl from Brooklyn, New York. And George began to see her, my friend, and they began to date, and we began to, bunch of us, try to win her to the Lord. And I can't take credit for all of it. We all began to just pour seed and word into her, and there came a point where she gave her heart to Jesus. And now she has a wonderful, has a beautiful family. She has a wonderful husband. She has a ministry of her own. She's written a book, and you can buy it, get it autographed, and Debbie would be happy. But it's her testimony of her life and how it was to come out of the Messianic lifestyle, well, to come into the Messianic lifestyle from just being a, you know, an unsaved Jewish girl. And so if you want to ask her if Jesus is real, she'll tell you how real it is and how it all happened. But it's wonderful to understand Jerusalem and the Jewish people tonight. The setting is Jerusalem. The setting tonight we're going to read about is by a sheep market. Amen. It's by a pool. It's going to be by a pool. Anybody ever gone to a pool? Amen. Maybe you have a pool. Maybe you've gone to a pool. But this pool was one of many. But this particular pool, God had his hand on this particular one. We're going to read about tonight at Bethsaida. And so tonight, let's begin reading in John chapter 5 and verse 2. Will you stand with me? We'll read these verses and you can be seated tonight. Please stand. Praise God. John chapter 5. And please don't have anything on your phone. Being old school, you know, it's my opportunity to tell you to turn that phone off unless you have it on Scripture. Shame on you. Shame on you. If you're in church, stay at home. If you're on anything else tonight, and you can have a little setting for an emergency, something like that, but we need to give attention to God's Word. It's respect for God. It's respect for the person speaking. Whether it was me or whoever it was, it would be disrespectful to do that. Would you go, forget about who's the president, but would you go to the White House and sit there on your phone when you had an invitation to be with the greatest man, the most powerful man on the face of the earth? No matter what you personally feel about him, because of the office, you would respect him. Hello?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. So give respect to God's word, not me, but God's word and the presence of his word here tonight. Praise God. In John chapter 5 verse 2, the Bible says, now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethsaida, having five porches. So there's more than one. And in there lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. You notice it was a certain man? Tonight you might be that certain one. You're not getting in the, let me just take a little side. You're not maybe getting in because you're sick, but it's a certain person he's going to, amen, take interest in tonight. I believe he's interested in everybody in here tonight. There was, so he was there 38 years. Everybody say 38. That's a long time. I've been married 44 years, amen, 43 years. In October, 43 years, 38, 48, 38, 38 and 43 is not too far apart. That's a long time. I've never been married that long. I got to throw that in because you'll get back to Sister Sydney and said, no, but I'm trying to liken it to how long it's been. Not 38 days, not 38 months,
all right,
not 38 minutes, 38 years. I wonder, I don't know how many of those years that man was by that pool, but I'm telling you what, he was there. Let me just preach tonight. I want to believe he was there a long time. He might have been there 38 years. But I'll tell you, he wasn't giving up. Amen. Oh, God, I got to be careful here tonight. Go ahead. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth in before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up the bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. Amen. I believe Sunday. Amen. I believe Sunday is the Sabbath. I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist. I believe Sunday is the Sabbath. I wonder what could happen in Cain. Oh, this is a little old town of Cain. Cain revival. What could not? Nothing could happen tonight. No, it won't. If you don't believe it could happen tonight for you, something could happen. You got to go to church. Oh, God, help me. You got to go to church expecting tonight. Come on. Amen.
Right.
I pastor a small church, but I go to church. I'm expecting something to happen. The same thing that can happen in a church of 200, 1,000, 6,000. We have some big churches now. The same thing. God's our respecter of Camp Hill Christian Life or Summer. I go there to the Christmas play. They have 2,500 people to go out. But the same God is interested in what happens in Deliverance Tabernacle with our 25 and home or 28, whatever we have all the time. He's interested in them just as much as he is the big church. Come on now. You may be seated. Praise God. So we're looking at three things tonight. We're looking at the setting, we're looking at the sick, and we're looking at the Savior. Sick doesn't just mean sick in body. It includes that, but not only that, it includes other things as well. And notice tonight that there was a pool there. Verse 2, a great multitude of sick folk. Sickness comes in all kinds of forms. Sickness comes physically. Sickness comes spiritually.
Yeah.
You know why tonight I'm going to put this in here maybe ahead of time. You know why some people haven't got what you feel they should get, or you haven't got what you really need tonight? It's not, we always liken being in darkness to being in sin. But there's a blindness that can come to a Christian that they really haven't seen yet that particular ability that God has in that particular area to do that particular thing for them. And so some Christians sit in churches and they're sick in their body. Some sit in church and people are not Christians, but they're sinners and they're in darkness. And they're in darkness, and as long as they're in darkness, until God turns on the Holy Spirit to their spirit, they're never going to come out of that. It takes the Spirit of God in every area in order for us to get set free. Can you say amen? He's got to turn that light on. He's got to show you he really is the same. He's got to show you that he can really heal that particular disease. He's got to show you tonight that he's able to supply that need. He can do everything and anything, whatever it might be tonight.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So there are lots of people coming to that pool tonight. It was known for its title, Bethsaida. Or Bethesda, excuse me. I keep saying Bethsaida. Bethesda. This pool was known by that name. It had significance. One of the things I love about studying the Word of God, Brother Tom, amen, Pastor, is that I love to look at meanings. And the word there for that particular pool there, the passage means house of mercy. This is a place where mercy can be shown. For this man, it was a physical touch. But whatever the need is tonight, spiritually or physically, there is a house of mercy. Aren't you glad that we have a merciful God? Every church tonight, I'm going to put my note and put a capital letter. Every church ought to be a Bethesda church. Every church ought to be a Bethesda church where people can have the mercy of God. Sometimes we think the mercy of God only applies to people that are not saved. They need the mercy of God. Or we fail God and we sin. We say, I need the mercy of God. But we need the mercy of God in every area. Thank God for His mercy.
Amen.
Thank God for His mercy. It brought me up the road from Rosemary to here. It was going to take me home. Thank God for the mercy of God in the woods yesterday. Thank God for the mercy of God that some are suffering with this particular disease, but I don't have it. Thank God for His mercy.
Hallelujah.
Hello.
Yeah.
There's in verse 3, it says there was a great multitude. There was a great multitude here on these porches and around this particular pool. And it takes a place of reputation. There's a great multitude. And this man had been there a long time, and Jesus recognized he'd been there a long time. But it was a place of reputation, especially at this particular time of the year. Once a year, the angel of the Lord came down. Amen. I don't know if he just took his hand like this or he got in knee deep in the water and troubled. I don't know how he did it. But somehow that angel's presence troubling the water. Didn't study that part out, so there's probably significance there. But he troubled the water, and the first person that got in.
Yeah.
First person that got in. Hello, God. Some people like to be miserable. Some people just like to just, you know, grope and be. I'm not basically a miserable person, so I have a hard time relating to people that want to be. When you could be something better, can you say amen?
Yes.
There's a great multitude indicating a place of reputation. And it was known for its troubling. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. A perfect description tonight. In a place of troubling, pardon me tonight, it speaks of humanity. A perfect description of humanity. Troubling. There's trouble all around. In the church and out of the church, there's troublings. But it's a perfect description of humanity tonight. It's all because we all began in Genesis at the beginning when Adam and Eve failed God and gave in to the suggestion of Satan and brought the fall of mankind and brought sin. It brought trouble.
Yes, it did.
Heaven has no trouble.
Uh-huh.
That's going to be wonderful. Satan brought trouble into the garden there. It's been going on for all these generations, all these thousands of years. But there's going to come a time where the trouble that which was created in trouble by them, disobeying God, is going to be reversed. We're going to go back to a place where there is nothing, amen, but perfect peace.
Hallelujah.
No trouble of any kind.
Amen.
Pardon me tonight. Amen. So this, due to the fall of mankind, this particular man tonight was impotent. What does that word mean? This man says tonight, let's look at him. It says there, a certain man was there that had infirmity 38 years. And here the Bible says that there was an impotence there. What does it mean? He was helpless. That word means helpless. Due to the fall of Genesis, man is impotent, or he is helpless. Believe it or not, you are helpless if you do not have Jesus Christ. I'm looking at every person in here. You know, I'm not saying you don't have it, but if you don't have Him, you're not in the right relationship with Him in whatever fashion, you are helpless. He's the only one that can bring you out of that, whatever it is, whether it be sin, sickness, you name whatever it is that troubles you or your life, He's the only one that can help your helplessness or mine. I'm in the same boat with you. I'm a human being. I'm not up here to pound on you. I'm preaching myself the same as everybody else. Notice this man was blind. He is He is blind. But there is a spiritual blindness, as I said earlier. Some people don't even realize that they're blind. They don't even realize they are blind. It's one thing to not realize you're blind. It's another thing to realize you're blind and talk about it spiritually and do nothing about it. Because you're going to stand before God. If you leave this world that way, you're going to stand before God. He's going to say, did I not give you every opportunity to get out of your blindness? I was the answer. And you refused to do it. How in the world? I cannot even relate to that either, Brother Kyle. How somebody could ever do that. Boy, I know. I remember the night that Jesus touched me. I wasn't even in a church service. The night I came to Christ, I was under conviction. My best friends had gotten saved. My three best friends, you heard me maybe talk about this before. And they had witnessed to me. I still wasn't right with God. But that particular night, after hearing the icing on the cake of a sermon by Billy Graham, preaching about the signs of the time, the end of the world, the second coming of Jesus, that was the message. I had the Lord open my understanding, as I said, about unless God opens that blindness. God definitely opened that blindness. There was still something after all the witnessing here. There was still something. But there was a particular time that God was going to. I talked about timing over in Smithport this morning. There's a time. God's timing. There's timing for everything. You're praying for some people that are sick. You're praying for some finances. You're praying for a job. There's a certain timing that God has for every. Do you hear me tonight?
Yeah.
Whether you believe it or not, there is. So that night by my bed, as I heard, when I heard that sermon, I went to bed, and there was a fear, Sister Judy, that came upon me, a reverent, godly fear that came on me. And what Billy Graham talked about the coming of the Lord, and talked about the signs of the time, and talked about the rapture, and talked about hell and all those things. I was literally, I can only tell you this, I was afraid, Brother Kyle, to go to sleep that night. I said, if I die in my sleep, I'm going to hell. I was a sinner, and I said that. At that moment, I got by my bed. I said, God, I don't know if everything that you say and they told me about you is true. I want to believe that it is, but I'm going to give you an opportunity. And here I am tonight.
Yeah.
God is true.
Yeah.
I'm a living testimony to that fact, and many others like you are a living testimony. Only you can only put those into words for somebody else to hear, that they have to experience it for themselves. You need to ask yourself tonight, am I spiritually blind about finances? Am I spiritually blind about spiritual things? Am I spiritually blind about your ability to give a job or to heal a disease or whatever it might be? Come on, take the blinders away so that I'll receive. Because God wants to, He wants to do so many wonderful things in our life.
Right.
Pardon me. I don't have any problem there. I don't know what's dust or what it could be. Anyways, maybe it's the enemy trying to hinder tonight. Amen. So there's spiritual blindness. Only the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to take a little commercial break right here for a moment. Just a little humor. I was sitting back there and I looked up. You know what? 5 after 7. You guys moved the clock ahead because you want me to be short-winded tonight. You moved it ahead an hour. So I went over to Kyle and said, change that clock. I think Kyle said, well, we want you to be short-winded. Hey, man, but I... So I've only got a couple of minutes. We should have been out of here 5 minutes ago. Oh, I won't keep you. I won't keep you until tomorrow morning. We'll still be able to get here, huh? Hallelujah. Amen. So, tonight... Only the Holy Spirit can reveal Christ to a blind soul. This man, God was interested in this man. In verse 3, going back, in there lay a great multitude of impotent folks, of blind, halt, withered. He goes on waiting for the troubling of the water. Halt. That word halt, there was a person there that was halt. What does that mean? H-A-L-T means that the mobility of the person is seriously curtailed. My wife was that way a few weeks ago, to the place we had to get a walker, where we had to think we, at one point I know we had a wheelchair come to our house. But now she's up and she's walking.
Amen.
Hello.
Oh,
well, I'm happy for her, but I don't know. If you gotta do that for me, it's long. Come on now. Amen. We keep telling Cindy all the time, don't give up, honey. Don't give up. Come on, prep. Come on. Come on, the therapists come, the nurse come once a week, check her out, the nurse, whole visiting nurse, and then the therapy part, and they want her to do exercises. And so we're encouraging her every day. So Joy and I, and amen, Nathan, we're saying, Mom, get that stretch pan out. Come on, get this thing going. Get it going. You know, do that thing you got to do here, whatever it is. Get it going. Come on. Amen. We're not going to be immovable. Praise the Lord. And so there were people in the halt. They were seriously curtailed. And that word curtail is to cut short or to reduce. That's what the devil does. He wants to cut short. He wants to reduce your life more and more and more. He wants to get you so discouraged you give up. Don't let him do that.
All right, come on.
Whatever you're going through, don't let him do that. You know, I almost preached about fighting tonight. Amen. You've got to stay in there and get... I have another message that I've preached before. It's talking about... it's talking about the title of it, don't be thin-skinned, be thick-skinned. You got to become a Christian that becomes thick-skinned. I'm not always, so I'm not going to say this, I'm not always thick-skinned. I believe I have some thick skin spiritually, but there's times when I feel thin-skinned. But God wants us to put on the armor. He wants us to have some toughness about us. We're going to bounce back. We're not going to throw in the towel. We're not going to die. Amen. We're not going to quit spiritually. We're going to keep on, whether spiritually or physically.
Yeah.
We're going to keep on. I plan on living a long life. Hallelujah. Well, you've already lived 70 years. I'm not done yet. Hallelujah. I want to live to be 90. I want to live to be 100. I want to, whatever. I want to live that way. Praise God. But the devil wants to curtail. He wants to halt. He wants to make you immobile. He wants to cut you short. He wants to reduce, amen, such as mankind. And then it says in verse 3, they're withered. People are withered. It refers to paralysis. Oh, God, you need to preach on that just by itself. Mankind also has spiritual paralysis. What does that mean? If you have paralysis in your hand, amen, you can possibly be like this. Can't even move your hand up. Or you might just walk around like this. Our hands meant to be like this. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just saying our hands made to be like that. No, the hands will be made to be used in whatever you got to do in life and not made to be like this. Your legs are not meant to be, amen, that withered and that kind of thing. But Jesus is concerned about those kind of people. And I have to believe there's probably even more types of disease and afflictions that are even mentioned there. But it tells me that he's interested in whatever it is that person has or doesn't have tonight. Then verse 3 goes on to say, as they were laying there, they're waiting for the moving of the water. Amen. We're dependent. Amen. Believe it or not, church, we're dependent on the moving of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If you don't have the moving of the Holy Spirit, you have no church.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, I'm a preacher that, God, let your spirit move in this service. God, let your spirit move in this service. Amen. Well, we're expecting the preacher to do all that. No, we come together. God, we want. Come with expectation every service. Come with expectation. We're wanting to see the moving of the Holy Spirit that's going to bring lasting results. This man got up, and I want to believe that he was healed the rest of his life. Natural life. This moving of the water was to bring deliverance and healing. I love the title of our church. I mean, I'm not opposed to Kane Revival Center. Revival is a wonderful word too. But people say, what is the name of your church? I say, Deliverance Tabernacle. The next thing I say to them, I say, that's where our God is. Hello?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, God's the only one who believes that. Amen. He's a delivering Savior.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. He's delivered. Hallelujah. Bethesda wasn't an elegant place. You have to study that out a little bit yourself. There was not elegance there. There was a lot of things in the Roman Empire around Jerusalem were elegant, but it was not an elegant place. But that doesn't appease God and say, oh, God doesn't go, oh, that's an elegant place. I'll go right over here. It tells me it's almost like what Jesus said when you go into the temple, just sit at the low seat. Don't ask for the high seat. Just sit right down there and, you know, God's not interested in the elegant necessarily. Not to say he's opposed to it. It doesn't take elegance for God to move. But it was an exciting place. Listen to me, it was not an elegant place, but it was an exciting place. Because of what took place there was elegance in the fact that God brought deliverance and healing, whatever type it was. This man had a physical affliction in his legs and body where he couldn't move. But I'll tell you what, I believe that there were probably some people over the course of those years that got some mental healings.
Hallelujah.
Emotional healings.
Hallelujah.
Well, emotions are... No, amen. God is greater than that.
Amen.
Amen. We prayed for years and years and years for particular issues going on in the glory down home. Oh, God, we prayed for, I mean, decades. And it was, she just never could, the fact that God can heal your emotions and heal your wounds from inside. And so it was sad that way. But God is able to do that. This place, Bethesda, wasn't a classy place. It wasn't classy, as we said. It was a cleansing place.
Yeah.
It wasn't a decorated place, I wrote down, but it was a divine place. It wasn't. I'm describing maybe your home tonight. It might not be the most elegant. It might not be the most classy place. Wherever you are, it wasn't a pious place, but it was a powerful place. Are you listening tonight? It wasn't a decorated place. It was a divine place. It wasn't a hangout for the socially important, this pool. It was a harbor for the spirit, for the physically maimed. It was a harbor where they could gather and expect and have some hope. This man came for years and years. Let me preach tonight. He came for years and years and never got anything, but he didn't quit coming. He couldn't walk. So somebody, almost like the man who came through the road, they lowered him down to Jesus. Somebody, I don't know how it all worked, we don't know, but somehow he got to that pool all the time. Every year, that particular time. He didn't give a hug, God didn't do it last year. He got three people ahead of me. Almost got there last year. The guy got, oh man, no, next year, I'm just holding on. I'm going to hold on. Church, you got to hold on tonight.
Come on.
Some of you have been holding on some things. Amen. You're expecting God for a long time. Keep holding on. Keep holding on. Amen. I talked this morning in the service about my brother. Some of you don't know, I have a half-brother still living. I have two half-brothers, a half-sister. Three of them are gone, but I have one half-brother left. He's 88 years old. He needs Jesus in his life. I've been praying for 44 years for him. Wow, man, I'd give up. No, I'm not giving up. Amen. Because I go by that old saying, somebody said, you might be the only person that's keeping him, amen, for eternity, separated from God. I want to believe there are other people praying, but I'm praying tonight. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. And I see God working. I see God moving. We're not there yet, but I'm not going to give up. I'm like this one by the pool. I'm going to stick in there. Amen. Because not God's willing, not will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. I don't know how God's going to do it. That's not my job. I'm just praying. There's power in prayer.
Amen.
It was the place. Bethesda was the place to trade kindness. Amen. For compliments. It was a place to trade crutches. Hallelujah. For confidence. Hello? It was a place to trade crutches for confidence. It was a place to trade a pat on the back for favors. It was a place to trade, listen, it was a place to trade hurting for healing, beds for blessings, and limping for leaping. Hello, are you out there?
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
It was a place to trade hurting for healing. It was a place to trade beds for blessing and limping for leaping. Hallelujah. That sounds mighty good to me.
Amen.
Verse 4 says, for the angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. There's an annual season. That word angel, if you studied angels out, I preached on angels, a series of messages years ago. It comes from Angelios, Angeliar, which we get Los Angeles, California. Angelar, which means messenger. God sent a messenger to the pool. Here's the message, I'm here to heal. Angels, that word angel is mentioned 175 times in the Bible. If something is more than a dozen, I think it must be pretty important.
Amen.
How many times is Jesus' name mentioned in the Word of God? Good, He was the Word.
Amen.
But how many times is His name mentioned? How many times does it take, amen, for us to get the message? Well, we got the setting set. Hang in there. We got the setting set. Now we're going to talk about the sick. Part number two, second act, the disease. The Bible doesn't specifically tell us what this man's disease was. It uses a generic word. That generic word, as we said earlier, is impotent. That word indicates that anything could be have been wrong with this man. But there was something wrong. There's not some, oh God help me tonight. There's nothing wrong with having something wrong. Listen, look up here. There's nothing wrong with having something wrong tonight. It's wrong when you don't act upon one that can solve that very problem.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong. We all are flawed. We all have. One time, a few years ago, I came to the pulpit and I said, church, we're a mess. Every one of us is a mess. Mm-hmm. I didn't believe that. Got some messes.
Yeah.
Well, Brother Andrews, you don't look like you have any messes. Oh, you don't know me. You don't know me like God does. You go, oh. There's some messes there. Amen. God's a good messer straighter outer. I don't know how you say that. But this man had this impotent problem. Anything could have been wrong. There's a word used to imply that no matter what the problem was, Jesus had conquered it. He had already conquered it before the man ever got in the water. It wasn't so significant that there was a pool. It wasn't so significant that there was a water there. It was not so, all those things and where it was and Jerusalem and all those things were not as significant as the fact that Jesus was there.
Yeah.
It only takes Jesus.
That's right.
Folks, it only takes Jesus.
Yeah.
Folks, it only takes Jesus tonight.
Right.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So verse 5 goes on. It says here tonight, and a certain man was there. Time appointed, a certain man. You think all those years that the Lord wasn't seeing that man there? He sure was. He was seeing him there. And so, here it was. He goes on in verse 5 there, and he says, a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when he saw, and Jesus saw him, and knew that he had been there a long time in that case, he said, and what will thou be made whole? And the impotent man, verse 7, answers, sir, I have no man. Sir, I have no man. Sir, I have no man. It's not a man-made, it's not a man's place to answer that. There are things, a lot of things happen in our life. I'd say a vast majority of things have nothing to do with man's ability. Is it by chance that God allows it to be that way so that we have only one source to look to, and it's Jesus? If you could save yourself, amen, it would be a lot different than what we have here in the gospel. If you could supply all your needs, we wouldn't need the Bible, we wouldn't need God tonight. Isn't it something? There was a certain man and a certain dilemma he was going through, and he says, I have no man. Apparently other people had people, you know, come and help him get into the pool or whatever. He says, I have no man all these years to help me. His dilemma wasn't the disease. His dilemma was not the disease. It was not the distance from the pool. I don't know how close he was to getting in that particular year. Maybe he was way back here. Maybe as close as he'd ever been to getting in there. I don't know. But that has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with the distance or the disease. Some of you think some of your problems are so big that God couldn't do it. You're so far, that God's so far away that he could never do that. Some of us get an attitude that, you know, I know this is Brother Larson when he was here. Attitude has a lot to do with what we get or do not get from God. If we have the right attitude when other people are blessed or rejoicing, whatever it might be, praise the Lord. I just heard today, I stopped after service. Nathan and I stopped to see my brother Mar Allen. Had prayer with him. I went to see him when we came to the convention. But Allen got blessed today. Some of you might have heard about this. I just heard about it, so what a blessing it was. He belongs, I guess, to the gun club or whatever they have here where they bring the deer collar, you know, well, I don't know what it is. But anyway, they have a drawing or something like that. They drew Allen's name. He won a gun. I didn't go, wow, man, I didn't get no gun like that. No, I was happy for him. Whether he's ever able to use that gun or not. Amen. We were rejoicing and saying, thank you, Jesus. Because he said, I've never won anything in my life. I didn't go, oh, that's too bad. I haven't either. I could do that. I could have done that. Because I don't remember, maybe when I was a little kid or something, I don't remember, but basically winning something that's not been part of my life. That's nothing here nor there. But the point is that you rejoice somebody. I said, man, that's awesome. That's awesome. You know, that you got, your attitude has a lot to do with that. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those that weep. So this man was not a matter of the distance or the disease. This man couldn't go to Jesus. So what happened at this particular time? I believe Jesus could have come. He could have come in the 30th year, the 13th year, the third year, the 14th year. He could have come. But this particular time was his appointed time. Hang in there, because sometimes people miss appointments from God by just a day or hours. Well, this morning, it's been a wonderful year. The last 6 months has been amazing in my life. With the healings that have been happening with my wife, and things have been happening at home. I had an opportunity, so I gave this, maybe you were at the fall convention, but I was able to lead a man to the Lord about 5.5 hours before he went out into eternity. He asked for me to come and pray. He wanted to make things right. He wanted to make sure things were right with him and God. So he had me come to his bed. I don't know this man. I had never met him in my life, other than the fact that after I saw him, I'm the kind of person that I've probably forgotten some faces in my life, but I'm a person that can remember seeing a face. And sometimes, maybe you're a person that you can always remember names and where you saw them and this, that, and the other. I'm not that kind of person. So when I saw Tom, his name is Tom as well, I looked at him and I thought, man, this man looks familiar. Well, as the time went on, those hours, you know, in the days ahead, I began to realize, well, it wasn't until after I did the visit with him and led it to the Lord. Between those hours and the next day, I came to understand how I knew this man by face. Because I worked at Ski Round Top, the ski resort, which was 3 miles from my house, back in the late 1990s, and Tom worked there for 25 years. It's amazing. I can still remember his face, Kyle. After, I didn't know him. Seeing somebody doesn't mean you know them. Oh God, that's another message about Jesus. Some people are out there, Jesus. Do you really know him?
Well, all right.
Here? So I didn't know this man, but I knew him. And I, you know, and here he, his family. You've got to be careful, you know, that don't ever think that you don't have significance. In a little town or big town or wherever it is, there are people that don't go to your church, that do not go to your job, do not work at your, they don't know anything hardly at all other than they watched your life and such. And this woman, his daughter called me. She did know me, but she's never come to our church. Never in her life has she ever come to our church. But I've had opportunities to witness her many, many years ago doing windows when I was washing windows in her house, and said, please come, we'd love to have you. That's near here today. She never came. But the thing is, when there was time of need, she called our house and said, Brother Andrews, my dad is dying. The hospice is here. He's dying of cancer, but he's asked, are we talking to him? He wants you to come. He wants you to pray for him. He wants to give. Wants to make sure things are right between him and God. I got there, and he was laying on the floor in a fetal position, and no T-shirt, and a pair of sweatpants on, and they had to literally pick him up off the floor and put him in a chair. And I got down like this, and I began to talk to Tom, and I began to give him the message of the gospel, and I said, let's pray. And he just was struggling to get the words out, but I believe he prayed through, and his wife said, praise God, when we were done. I said, I'm confident that he's prayed the sinner's prayer. And she said, praise God. He shot his hands up in the air, put him down like that. And I got up and talked a little bit more, and he was really having a hard time because he was sedated to really see me, sort of like a blindness there. I walked out of there, and I didn't expect to hear what I was going to hear. That was I left that house maybe 7 o'clock in the evening. Got there at 6:15, left there around 7, went home. Next morning, I get up, I get a call, and he passed away at midnight. I say, thank you, Jesus. I didn't save him, but it was a point in time. And I told him at the funeral, I had to preach the funeral. I said, that huge congregation, because he was so well known, it was packed. I said, there's one thing about this man. I did not force my way into his life. I didn't force the gospel down his throat. He called and asked me to come and minister to him. He wanted to get right. I came. I said, well, you're here today. I'll do the same for you. Jesus wants to save your soul. You know, but anyway, so here's this man. He's there. It doesn't have anything to do with business. It doesn't have anything to do with disease. He couldn't get to Jesus, so Jesus came to him.
Yeah.
The same for all the world. He's come. We're getting ready to celebrate Christmas. It's not, amen, Santa Claus's birthday.
Right.
Has nothing to do with Santa Claus. He's a distraction. Oh, God. I know you don't like me now. He's a distraction.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I just don't emphasize that. I never did with my children. I didn't emphasize that part. You know, I said he's a nice story, and you know it's a good fantasy thing, but the real meaning is Jesus and his birth. I preached a message one time about Happy Birthday Jesus. How would you like to have a birthday party and everybody would celebrate everything but you?
Mm.
I don't have birthday parties. I don't have cake. I don't do. Just let me preach. Most people like to be remembered for their birthday. They say one of the most important things in a person's lifetime is their name. Oh, God, help me.
It's a hard time to think,
Jesus. Especially if I don't see people for a while. When I'm around them, maybe you're not that way. You just always remember. I can see 15 years later. I still remember them. That's everything. Not me. I'm just old man out of face, out of mind, so to speak. Man's condition, amen, is terminal. Spiritually, it's terminal. We're terminal beings. We're eternal beings. Destined for one of two eternities. Every person that's ever been born is eternally destined for one of two places. Certainly, because of the fall of man in the garden, man's spiritual condition is terminal. It means death, spiritually, unless there's an intervention. Like this man, unless this man had an intervention by the pool, he was going to be that way the rest of his life. I don't know how long that was going to be, but his life was going to end crippled and maimed and blind and all these things that are there. So tonight, believe it or not, hot shot, if you're here, I'm just saying that to be emphatic. Believe it or not, folks, every one of us from the pulpit to the pew are dependent people. You may not think so. Ah, a self-made person, bless God. Oh, I can do this. I can make my own food, and I can work my own job. I got my own job, and I can do this, and I can do that. Hey, you don't really. You are blind. You believe that tonight because we are dependent people. There are certain things that you can do on your own, but it's limited compared, amen, to what the big picture is. We are dependent people. We need somebody. There comes a time, amen, maybe not tonight, maybe you're here and that's not you, but listen, that's the next statement's very important. We are dependent people, we all need somebody, but there comes times when we stand alone, and we need somebody to stand beside us.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah.
Aren't you glad for Jesus?
Amen.
We're never alone.
Right.
You may feel lonely tonight, but it's only, if you draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. I can't say that if you call up Aunt McKinley, she's going to come. I can't say that your Uncle Joe or your best friend's going to come. But I can tell you what, when you call on Jesus, He's going to come.
Yes,
it is. You don't have to do anything with feelings. Amen. I'm trying to hurry along here tonight. So we almost got to scene three, but let me finish with scene two. There are many who will boast that loneliness will never be their problem. I'm a social butterfly. So am I. Me. John Andrews. So is Joy Andrews. But there's times when I've been with my daughter and she said some certain things. She said, I feel so alone. I said, honey, how can you feel that way when you have so many friends and stuff? You can have a ton of people around you and feel lonely. But I'll tell you, loneliness is something that doesn't have to defeat you tonight. This man must have felt lonely. He was among all that multitude of people, but he felt so lonely that I have nobody to help me. Aren't you glad for King Revival, Sonny? So you have somebody to help you tonight. This could be the Bethesda pool. As I started the message saying, this could be the house of mercy for you. Amen. You have a good pastor, whether you believe it or not. You have a good pastor's wife and a good staff and Colin, Brooke, and all these others. And if I don't mention your name, you're going to be mad. But anyway, I love you, and I'm not meaning that intentionally. Amen. There are many people who boast that loneliness will never be their problem. They are surrounded by friends, but here are the facts. Let me give you a couple facts quickly before we get to scene three. You may have 10,000 brothers or sisters, but not one of them will be a bridge over troubled water or a shelter in the time of storm. Where are they? More times than not, I said, where are they? But I got Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I'm talking about me. I hope I'm illustrating you tonight. We're never alone as long as we have the Lord. He said, I'll never leave you. Nobody else can say that, Kyle. Nobody that I've ever experienced, Riley, could ever say that to me. Brother Eric, nobody could ever say that. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Whether you are for it or against it tonight, I'm going to leave Tuesday morning, willing, sometime, and leave you. Whew. Glad he's gone. If you feel that way, I still love you. But you get the point? I can't be with you all the time. But Jesus can.
Amen.
He's all that we really have when it comes down to it. There are times when we are lonely and we feel broken. And so, when there is no man, I wrote, Jesus is the only hope. But that's all we really need anyway. Let's go to scene 3. We're getting to the climax. The good stuff. The final scene of the play is where we're going to say where the setting is, and the sickness is now going to come. We're going to see why was there place? Why was there setting? Why was there sickness? And now, what is this one in the third scene? They titled the third scene the Savior. Wow. A personal Amen Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Boy, I tell you, it's important. Yeah. When you witness or you share Jesus with anybody, that you make known to them that you are not presenting to them just a religion. You're presenting them a personal relationship.
Yeah.
I feel like Brother Tom and I are pretty close friends, and lots of all of you in here, you're family to me. You're personal to me. But not, there's nobody. The personal relationship. You have to believe, you have to have the blinders taken. You really believe that Jesus is everything he says he is, and he's a real person, and he is going to come back, and I'm going to spend eternity with him. It's not a fantasy story. It's not Marvel Comics. It's not Marvel movie. It's real. There is a Jesus Christ. I believe it in my heart. I believe I'm going to see him. I believe he's going to hug me. I believe we're going to spend eternity with him in a happy place called heaven. I can't imagine how wonderful it is. All the things the Bible says.
Yeah.
That I can't imagine how he ever cleansed me for all the sins. And all the things. But I believe it tonight. This simple faith. This personal one, a Savior, in verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been a long time in that case, Jesus has been looking at your case a long time. He's been looking at your case a long time. Now, he said to them, wilt thou be made whole? Or will you have, are you wanting to see this change?
Mm. Yeah.
Some people, they just love the terrible condition they're in. Not just spiritually. Man, I want to be happy. That's why I came to Jesus. He gave me happiness. I have my bad days, but I have happiness inside.
Hallelujah.
And so Jesus is a personal Savior. He has the personality of a great physician. If you know a great physician, the natural, he's got that same positive. Not all doctors are that way. Some are really hoof. So when he went to Jerusalem, he went to the hospitals. Or he went to the place where the needs were. He didn't go to the palaces. I wrote down a few things. He didn't go to the fortunate. This is a lesson for all. But he went to the unfortunate. And he went to the forsaken. He didn't go to the prosperous. But he went to the poor. He didn't go to the perfect. Not saying he didn't. He went to the palaces, you know, and he talked and those kind of things, but they didn't want to hear him. Pharisees and scribes and the Sanhedrin and all that. So he didn't go to the prosperous. He didn't go to the prosperous. He went to the poor. He didn't go to the perfect. He went to the perverted. Oh, perverted? Huh? No, it doesn't just mean sexually. Perversion is a broad word. Can be perverted in a lot of things, just really screwed up about things. It's not natural, amen, some of the things that people do. That's perverted, that's what it is. It's not natural. He didn't go to the lovely, but he went to the lowly. Some sick and invalid are content. Hey, as I thought, I got ahead of myself, I told you. They're content to remain sick. My wife does not want to remain sick. She's fighting it. She's doing a good job. She's living a good testimony. She's fighting it. She's fighting it.
Yeah.
He went. Some people want to remain in that condition, remain sick or invalid. Or if she or he is cured, they would have to shoulder all the burden of making a living, maybe even. I'm all for the welfare department. I'm all for the give outs and those for the really need. But can I tell you tonight, there's lots of people that are just, amen, content to let somebody else do it or provide for them all the time. I know that there are legitimate needs. I know when I was a freshman in college, between my freshman and sophomore year, I worked for the West Virginia State food stamp program. I was the guy that interviewed people. I was the guy that went out to their house to see if they were legitimately qualified to receive those things. It's a summer job for college students. George, I told you about his wife, Debbie. The Jewish girl, he worked with me across the desk, and we went out to people's houses and evaluated things. But some people are content in their misery. God never intended for us to be miserable. Amen? We ought to be the happiest people on earth. Maybe we are. So I'm not preaching to you. But we need to be the happiest people. Not, I have every reason, myself tonight, if I want to take it this way, so you won't think I'm up on a cloud, oh, it just never has any. I have every reason in the natural. I have every reason to be mad at God, to be upset with God, the things I've gone through, my wife has gone through, the last couple. I have every reason just to get a sour attitude, a bad attitude. Sometimes I get that way. I have to fight it off. I'm just, I'm glad that God can give joy. Amen. He can give joy. Put a smile on your face.
Yeah.
He can put a smile on your face, or at least a smile down inside of you. So am I supposed to be upset because I went hunting yesterday and get a deer? The two went flying by me and I didn't, well, I couldn't have shot them anyway because I didn't have the doe tag to get them. But if I had and missed them, well, should I just say, I'm never hunting, I'm going to bust this gun against the tree, I'm never going to do it, I'm going to have a sour attitude, ah, that really stinks, that hunting stuff, I don't want to ever go out there again. I've spent more time in my life, Kyle, God bless you, all the deer you've got, I've spent more time in the woods never getting a deer than I ever have got one. So you that got deer, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus, right now.
Hallelujah.
You got one every year of any sort. You're laughing and making fun of me right now tonight, but I'm trying to get something spiritual across to you. We can be miserable or we can be happy.
Right.
Your life is what you make it by allowing God to do things in your life.
Yes.
I'm not the richest person, but I'm happy.
Yeah.
I've got a roof over my head. I've got food on my table. I've got health. I've got a wonderful family. I mean, I've got a wonderful, I really do. It could be better, but I'm telling you tonight, I'm bragging on Jesus right now, this last few moments. I'm bragging on Him. I've got it made, man. I'm telling you. Amen. I made good money on my job. I don't know. I can't think of anything. I tell our people this very same thing at home. God is so good. That there are things I could let them get me down just the place of this world. So some people, amen, they shoulder a burden, amen, of letting somebody else do it for them. Amen. There's some things you're going to have to do yourself. This man had to want to get into the pool. Some fall into all kind of situations. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to close here in a moment. Verse 8. Jesus said unto him, arise, take up thy bed and walk. He heard everything the man had to say. He said, well, another's coming and steps down before me. Jesus heard all you. You probably presented your problems to him. Jesus prescribed total and instant healing. All he said was this one word, rise. Rise. Everybody say rise.
Rise.
Take up your bed and walk. Take up your bed and walk. But the primary word was rise. All the Lord has to say is rise. He said that in the grave of a man called Lazarus, his best friend. He said, rise. And the man came back. The greatest enemy that man has is death. And so when I think about my brother-in-law suffering with cancer, I went to his bedtime last time. I said, you know, Alan, it's real what you have. But you know as well as I do that God, from God's word, there's not anything, amen, greater than death. And Jesus conquered death, not only his own death, but he did it prior to his own death with Lazarus. He said, this is what's going to happen. I'm greater than any disease, any affliction. I'm not saying that every person's going to get healed from those things, but I'm telling you, we have a God that can conquer anything.
Yes, we do.
I want to get that down in my spirit. I'm still working at that myself.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I haven't got it all down pat, Kyle. You might think, well, Uncle John's, you give me many compliments. But I haven't got it all together yet. The infinite man, his back was on the bed when Jesus found him. His back was on the bed. Nobody put me. He was probably laying beside that. Oh, he's probably laying there. Amen. I've been here 3 years, Jesus. Nobody put me in the water. He's laying on his back. Listen, he was laying on his back. Amen. He was laying on his back. And Jesus spoke, rise. And the infinite man's back being on the bed, he jumped up, and now the bed was on his back as he walked away. He came laying on his back, but now the back bed was on his back, walking away healed and totally made whole tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It was his power. Everybody say God's power.
God.
Everybody say Jesus' power.
Jesus.
There's power in Jesus' visit. Jesus is making a visit tonight to Kane, Pennsylvania. Not this, he stopped by. It's not Santa Claus once a year.
Stop by Kane, Pennsylvania. Come down your chimney and get a prayer. You know, all your goodies or whatever it might be, whatever age you are.
No, Jesus comes to Kane every day. Amen. But he's here tonight.
Hallelujah.
In this place.
Hallelujah.
Anywhere he appears. Oh, I like this. Anywhere he appears, there's a possibility of display of his power. Are you going to let him show his power tonight?
Right. Yeah.
There's power in Jesus' voice. All he has to say is one word. The Bible says, the Bible says in Genesis that he spoke, and it was.
Yes.
He spoke a whole galaxy, all the plants, all, every creature. He spoke. He simply took some clay and mud and dirt and formed it and it went, woof! Man, it became a living soul. Man.
Right.
Man, that's a powerful God if you ask me.
Yeah.
They don't even have any idea how many galaxies there are. Scientists say there's every time they up it, found another galaxy, found another one. And once in a while I read about that. There's power in Jesus' voice. The same voice that spoke the world, the universe, in existence, spoke can speak a miracle into being for a man by a pool. Are you? Maybe you're that person. Well, you're by a pool at some sort of in your life as I'm closing. You're beside some pool tonight. Maybe you don't need physical healing, but you need something. You know, tonight it could be you. Maybe it won't be me. You have to have faith. Amen. This is going to be tonight.
Yeah.
Amen. I want to leave here different. When I leave here tonight, I poured everything I've got into this message tonight. One thing I feel bad about if you didn't get anything from it. What a place to say. What a miracle. Amen. And what a wonderful Jesus our Lord. Amen. Tonight. The setting, sickness, and the Savior. It was a place. It was a miracle. And it was a wonderful Lord. He's here for you tonight, church. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for each one that's here. God, right now, as we open this altar, we pray tonight that, Father, amen, you will move in the lives of those that are here. I just want to see them receive something from you. I didn't come to judge. I didn't come to try to be something for them. I just want to see them be directed to the one that can. Oh God, work and move right now. If you have a need. I told you about that man I prayed for.
And at the convention, I also told you about my next door neighbor, literally across the yard from me. He's in his 30s. Some of you hear that. It doesn't make any difference that way. But I had an opportunity 2 weeks after I led Tom, by his deathbed, I got to lead him to the Lord in our altar of our church. But the way that service happened was, I preached, he came the first time, he did not come to the altar. The next time, the next week, Nathan's here to verify what I'm saying. I said to folks, something came to my mind at the altar, and I said something I remember from years ago. And that is that if you feel shy about coming with your need, why don't you motion to your neighbor beside you or something and say, would you walk up with me? Would you just walk up with me? There's just something about having somebody maybe just to come with you tonight. I don't care if it's a physical affliction, a spiritual affliction. Why don't you make it tonight, amen? I want to believe I'm that man by the pool. Don't let the devil talk you out of it, because he's here tonight as well. Whispering at people's ears and say, that ain't tonight, that sounds good, but that's not for you tonight. There'll be another time. There'll be another place. Just don't go there tonight. You just make Andrews look good or whatever, but don't just, that's not really for, that's not, probably not the time. He said it might not be the time, so it's probably not. He's talking that way, same as the Lord's whispering in your ear, just come. Come, rise, rise. Rise. You know that man, Jesus said rise. He could have laid there. The power of God was on him. But he had to get up. He had to get up. Take up his bed and walk. He had to do it like the other story about take up your bed and walk. Where Peter and John, I believe, was. In the temple, remember, the shadow. It said, silver and gold have we not. But since we have given, in the name of Jesus. And the man jumped, and he jumped up and leaped and went into that place. Are you going to come tonight? I'm going to live very long. Amen. If nobody comes, I'm done. I've done my thing. I'm gonna pray for you. If you come, if you don't, I'm home happy. Amen. I preach the best I can. It's a wonderful. I love this message. I love this message. Amen. I will tell you, it's not the first time I preach this message. There's certain messages preachers get. I know that they're gonna. And there's certain ones after all these years, 41 years of pastor. I know that sometimes when God gives me a message, I know somewhere down the road, Lord will, I'm gonna preach that message again tonight. This message can help anybody if you'll let it. Amen. I don't want any glory. I just want God to help you tonight. Lord, help Riley tonight, God. You know what's on her heart tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord. God, work and move. She's the only one tonight. Glory to God. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah for meeting with her. Glory to God at this Bethesda. Hallelujah for her tonight. In the name of Jesus. God, meet that need in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You talk about a troubled young man next door to me. My next door neighbor, he's troubled. I mean, we've got a lot of talks. I told Smithport this morning, I told the convention, I led him to the Lord, and then the Lord began to deal with me to disciple him or mentor him. And because we don't have midweek service right now, we just, either that, it wouldn't make any difference necessarily that way. But God said, I want you to take an hour, amen, a week, and I want you to teach him the Word of God. And so we had a session. The very first session we went, he didn't know one book from another in the Bible. I had to help me find it. We read it and we talked about, amen, about God. And we're just talking about, we're going to talk about doctrinal things. The doctrines we believe in the next weeks ahead. Got to get a foundation under it. Because if not, it'll drift back into the world. That's why you need church tonight. Amen. You'll stay in the world if you don't have church, amen, knowledge and church, amen, doctrine underneath of you. You'll drift. You'll drift away. Because he didn't know the first thing about anything spiritually. He said, when I was young, I was a child, I gave my heart to the Lord. He said, I was baptized. I don't know what kind of church it was. But he said, I've been away from God as a teenager, as a young adult, and now in my 30s, I've been away. But he said, I want to come to church. I led him to the Lord. He brought the subject up there again in the backyard. He said, the first thing was we met each other, shook his hand across the yard, introduced myself, and we talked a little bit, and it wasn't very long. He said, what do you do for a living, John? I said, I'm a pastor. He went, oh man. He said, I need to get back to God. He said, I've been away, and God's been dealing with me about this
quite some time, and so I talked to him some more, and he poured out his heart about problems. I said, every one of those things the Lord can take care of it. And then he said, I'm lonely. Talk about loneliness. And I said, I'm nobody. I said, a mom and a daughter, a mom and a sister, they live far away. But I have, they're not near me that much. I'm alone. I'm here in this house by myself. It's the same identical house I have. Same size, same dimensions, everything. One young man living there by himself, working faithfully his job. He said, I'm lonely. I said, you're not anymore. Hello, look up here, church. I said, you're not anymore. I said, why was that? I said, I'm going to introduce you to my son. There's two doors away from you, Nathan, and his sister, Joy. And after them, they went to church and said, now you've got a family. You've got a family called the family of God. You're not lonely anymore. You're not lonely anymore. Amen. Praise God. I'm believing God for great things. Who knows what God has in store for that young man? He's not here by chance. I said, you're not purposeless, Chris. Pray for Chris if you want to remember him. You're on purpose, Chris. God needed you there that day and helped me. You broke a lot of young people, but Lord help us, I'm just saying. But you would enjoy that, helping to see him come to Jesus. Amen. But it's just awesome to know that we have a God that's so great tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's been great to be here. We thank God for you tonight. We pray that you won't take this wrong, but he's an on-time God. Amen tonight. That was the title of my message. He's an on-time God. He's on time for you tonight. Amen. I have to believe some people are going to leave tonight. Amen. Maybe more than one. Amen. You didn't really get all you should have got tonight. Amen. But that's between you and God. But anyway, praise the Lord. God bless you tonight. Thank you, Brother Pastor.
Amen. Why don't we stand? Just a couple times we'll sing this song. It's very fitting. Amen. Thank you for that word. And let's sing this song. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. That man that he preached about tonight, all of that man needed was Jesus. Amen. In the situations that you're facing in life, all you need is Jesus. He's the only one that can help you. Amen. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Now I can stand and see his healing. We don't know anything else about him, but I believe this come into play in his life. We'll sing this part. And I love him so. Oh, I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. I love and you can go just on and on with this. I don't think that story stopped right there. Not that. Man, do you realize what happened to this man? I'm sure he had family. I'm sure he had friends. I'm sure they were excited about what happened to him. That's not how they knew him, up and walking about. I believe that there was a great harvest for the kingdom of God, that a lot of people came to Jesus through that because of what God did in his life.
God designs it to be the same way in your life, what he does for you, that can have a ripple effect and it can cause many people to come into the kingdom of God. Don't let it stop. God bless you. That's good enough for me. I'm just never going to talk about it. Talk about what Jesus did for you. God, we thank you for this night. Thank you for this service. Thank you for this word that we shared here tonight, God. Lord, that this will work on our hearts. That we'll think about this, God. Lord, that we'll realize in this life, it's you. You are all that really matters. We go after so many things, and we just, that's just the way we are. But God, let us realize you are all that we need. You are the answer to every situation, whatever we're facing in our life. We look to you this night, God. There's no man that can help us, God. It's only you that can help us, God, that we'll look to you. Thank you for that, God. Be with us. Keep your hand upon us. Lead, guide, and direct us, God. Help us to walk in your love and to share your love wherever we go. We love you, Jesus. And everybody say, amen.